The Money Show. Business books.
Usually on a Monday around this time, we do cover the business book feature. Tonight, we're reading Same As Ever, A Guide to What Never Changes, that book by Morgan Housel. Of course, Ian Mann, a regular book reviewer here on The Money Show, and the MD at Gateway Business Intelligence are joining us for this particular conversation. Same As Ever, A Guide to What Never Changes. The book really looks into timeless principles shaping human behavior, economics, and decision making. It also looks at the accessible insights into navigating uncertainty in finance and life, and drawing on historical examples and psychological truths. Ian Mann joining us to tell us more about this particular read. Ian, your interest in this particular book, and what did you pick up from it as you were flipping through the pages?
I've read it quite a few times, I must tell you. The book is very serious, and I'll tell you why. We've been trying to predict the future for a very long time. One of the things I think everybody who's the least bit thoughtful knows is that it's absurd to try and predict 50 years in the future, or 5 years in the future, or 2 years in the future. Everything can change tomorrow and can change because of a tiny, tiny little accident. I don't know how many people would have believed if we told them before that if a virus broke out in Wuhan, it would affect the price of liquor in Africa, or it would affect liquor sales in Africa. Nobody believed that stuff, but it happens. Lots and lots of small things happen all the time. Now, how do we spend so much time trying to predict the future, and what's nice about this book, it's picked up something that we really, really can predict.
And he what says, are those key themes that come from this particular book?
What he says is this. One of the things we can predict 50 years in the future with great certainty is that human beings will still respond to greed. They'll still respond to fear. They'll still respond to exploitation. They'll still respond to tribal affiliations. They'll still respond to social persuasions. You've got a list of 23 different things, my memory says. And what he does is he identifies these things which really they're not going to change. That's why he called the book Same As Ever. Let me just give you a couple of examples and you see exactly where he's going to. We're very good at predicting the future, except we're not very good at predicting surprises. Surprises. But what tends to matter most of all is the surprises. Biggest risks are always those things that nobody saw coming. If we saw it coming, we'd be prepared. And the damage happens because we aren't. Risk is really what's left over after you've thought through everything you possibly can. I'll give you an example. He asked the author asked Robert Shiller, the Nobel Prize winning expert on bubbles, how inevitable was the Great Depression? And this is what he said. Shiller said nobody forecasted that. Zero. Nobody. Housel asked economic historians to name someone who predicted the Depression. No name comes up. You ask yourself, how could nobody have predicted the Depression? There are always two ways to explain something that looks inevitable afterwards. And it wasn't predicted despite the fact that it looks inevitable at the time. Reason is either everybody was deluded or blinded at the time, or it's possible that people are fooled by hindsight. We only understand things because it's in hindsight. The biggest news, the biggest risks, most controversial events are always what you don't see coming. Risk is what we don't see. It always was the case and it's always going to be.
In the book, Ian, we know the future is uncertain. So trying to be future looking as humans in our human nature, we don't want to delve in that in case the future doesn't suit us, in terms of calling, credit bubbles that led to the market crash, calling things that should, move the dial in the normal life that we enjoy. We all love certainty. So looking into the future might be something we're not really looking forward to doing.
But look, that's just one aspect of it. I want to give you another one, a verity, something we know will be true now and will be true in the future. Try this one. There's incredible power in stories. Stories are always more powerful than statistics. And in fact, the best story always wins. Not only the best idea, or the right idea, or the most rational idea, but the idea that's called best. A great idea that's poorly explained sounds like a bad idea. And we've seen this happen all along, and sometimes these things can make a huge difference. If you have the wrong answer, but you're a good storyteller, you'll always get ahead, at least for a while. Just think of one example of a great storyteller. Halfway through Martin Luther King's speech, he was giving a speech to 250,000 people. Halfway through the speech he'd written for the occasion, with all these people literally physically standing in front of him, Mahalia Jackson, who's a gospel singer, who was standing on his left, said to him, "Tell him about the dream, Martin. Tell him about the dream." And he looks at her, he paused for a while, and he takes his text and moves his text off the lectern. He grabs the lectern, looks at the 250,000 people, and he says, "I have a dream. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream." And the rest is history. The power of a story can be so powerful that it can do the sorts of things that Martin Luther King's ideas, covered in a story, can make happen. I think in a perfect world, the importance of information wouldn't rely on the author's eloquence. But we live in a world where people are bored, impatient, emotional. We get complicated, and we need to get complicated things distilled and easy to grasp. And this has always been the case. Now, this is not only true of stories about events, but products, companies, careers, politics, education, culture, everything. The best story wins. It's not only what you say, but how you say it. And that's not going to change. That's going to be the same now as it is in the future.
Ian, you say you've picked up this particular book a couple of times. Now, there's a reason why you keep going back. What is it about the book that makes you want to pick it up and remind yourself of some of the lessons you're getting from the text?
I think that they're very profound lessons for business, for everything else. Let me give you a couple of business cases. We have a tendency to want to do too much, too soon, and too fast. And it's happened for a long time. There's managerial styles that work brilliantly in a 10-person company, but it can destroy a 1,000-person company because we haven't learned the lesson that specific ways of doing things don't translate. This corporate cultures, I think the best example was the CEO of Uber, Travis Kalanick. He was a great example of a culture where when the company was nice and small, a 10-person company, it was ruthless, it was a tough culture, it was a rude culture, it was a hard-driving culture. And by the time it grew to a large company, literally anybody but him was needed when the company matured. It isn't just a flaw, but it's a reflection that a lot of things simply don't scale. And I think there's this tendency that we think things will scale. There's one, he has, as I say, he's got 23 really ideas that we've got to be aware of. We should remind ourselves of. As you read this book, you find yourself saying, aha, much more often than you say anything else. If you look, for example, we have overnight tragedies and we have long-term miracles. Miracles take a really long time. If you have a look at bad news, Pearl Harbor, 9/11, two of the biggest events in American history in the last 100 years, they both took less than an hour from start to finish. If we look at miracles, real miracles, and the fact that in 1955, 700,000 Americans died of heart disease, 700,000 in 55. That's declined by 70%. You'd say, one second, a decline of 70% from 700,000 people dying? Why aren't we shouting in the streets and building statues to cardiologists? The answer is because the improvement happened too slowly for anyone to notice. The average annual decline in heart disease between 1950 and 2014 was 1.5%. Now, can you imagine a news headline that says, heart disease declines by 1.5% last year. 1.5%. You just yawn.
That's good news.
It's good news, but 1.5% isn't good news. 75% is good news.
Yeah, that doesn't shake you much.
Because it happens so slowly, we don't get it. And I think that many of the tragedies that happen in life are things which happen very quickly, but the miracles that happen are very, very slow. And very often the miracles are things we don't even, are the things that didn't happen. It's the terrorist attack that didn't happen. It's the car accident that didn't happen. It's the pandemic that didn't happen. Yeah, the stock market crash that didn't happen. Overnight tragedies, we all know of. Long-term miracles, we just don't know. And he's got lots and lots of good ideas. And we need to understand these ideas, we don't have to guess about. They're built into where humans are, and that's why the book is useful.
All right, that was Ian Mann talking about what never changes in a changing world. Reading the book today, Same as Ever, Timeless Lessons on Risk, Opportunity, and Living a Good Life, that by Morgan Housel. A book he says he's been going back to a lot of times, a best-selling author of The Psychology of Money, of course, Morgan Housel. That was our book in our business book feature today.